You to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you would, please. Before I begin this morning's message, I would like to take a brief moment and make a correction from one of my messages 2 weeks back that was titled A Lively Hope. I was describing the depth of our Savior's love for His people, and in doing so, I misquoted a section of Scripture. I said, our names were inscribed in the palms of our Savior. The actual words are found in Isaiah 49:16, where it says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Now, that may not be a big difference to some, but accuracy is truth. You start making little mistakes and moving scriptures here and there, and you will fall into the trap of falling away from the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, not John's. We worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. This statement in Isaiah is so much more than what I said. He says, God says, I have graven thee. God Himself has put our very being in the palms of His hands. He has not just carved names in His palms, but He has graven, inscribed thee, you, all of you, not all of you the world, but all of you the person. All of you, Garrett. Every little piece of you, every part of your being has been inscribed into the palms of He who has loved you since the beginning of everything. Of He who there is no beginning. Every hitch, every curve, every wrinkle, you see, it's a personal thing. The word thee is more than a name. That's why it's a good verse to describe his love for you. Our Savior thinks upon you. He inscribed everything about you in His palms. This is a wonderful truth that boggles my mind that God would think upon me. Yet when we stop to consider the depth of His love, we must look to the cross, the ultimate description of love. He gave Himself a perfect sacrifice for His own people. He took what we deserved. He was made sin that we would be made righteous in Him. Oh, what a wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior indeed. My subject matter in today's message is distinguishing grace. We may remember a message not too far back that was entitled Unmerited Favor. Unmerited favor, if you remember. That's what grace is. You can't earn it. It must be a gift. It is given for no other reason than because it pleased the one who gave it. Distinguishing is our subject matter, though, for today. The word distinguish means to separate or to make a difference between two kinds, two types, two persons. We distinguish between one who is this and the other that is that. We may not find this word in Scripture, but the meaning of it is found throughout this book. Are you with me in Deuteronomy 7? Look at verse 6, if you would, please. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Our Lord right there distinguishes between those that He has chosen to love and all the rest. We can look at those and say, Esau's son, the sons of Esau, can't we? There are the sons of Jacob and the sons of Esau. The God of all this creation distinguishes between the world and those that He calls my people, my elect. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, He says. What? Really? How can that be? We who have sinned against our Maker, we are but dust. We who have walked after the flesh, How can he call us holy? Distinguishing grace. That's how. The Lord of all creation has chosen to be gracious to some. In the 9th chapter of Romans, verse 18, it says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Our Lord distinguishes right there between two different people. Those he has mercy on, and those that he hardens. Now, if you would, please turn over to the New Testament, to the book of John, chapter 10, if you would. Our great God distinguishes between those that were given to him by the Father before anything else had come to be, and the rest of all of creation. You don't need to turn there, but in John 17:9 it says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Whose names were written in the book of life? We whose names was written in the book of life have been made holy by our substitute, our blood sacrifice, our blessed Redeemer, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people. In Malachi 1:2 it says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage a waste for the dragons of the wilderness? Well, you may say, how can that be? How could God love one and not the other? That's not fair. I ask you this. How could God love any? How could God love me? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve the wrath of God. How could God love any of us? To say that God loves everyone and is wanting them to love him back is to call the perfect creator a failure. You might as well call him weak. You might as well call him unable. I tell you, this God of Scripture is able. He is the very meaning of strength. He is victorious in everything he desires. He cannot fail. And this is our only hope. This is my only hope, that the Son of the living God has saved his people to the uttermost. Completely. Not a spot left on us. They've all been put on him when he went to the grave. All of our sins have been put away. As far as the east is from the west, the scriptures say. Because of his perfect sacrifice, he remembers our sins no more. Our iniquities have been blotted out. We may see our sins as we walk through this valley of death, but they are but a shadow. God sees the blood shed at Calvary, and he sees the death of his only begotten Son, and he says, I am satisfied. By his stripes, by the stripes that were laid on the back of our Savior, we are healed. And only by those stripes. We can't add anything to it, or it takes away from the grace that is there. It takes away from the meaning of grace. You cannot, as we spoke of once already today in Bible study, you cannot mix grace and works. It's either one or the other. The very idea that we have come to believe these truths is because of his distinguishing grace. God doesn't give everyone the faith. The gift of faith does not go out to everyone, or everyone would believe. To believe is to have faith. We believe because he has given that gift of faith to us. Look here at John chapter 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. If you're the Lord Jesus, if you're their Savior, tell us plainly. You know, the Lord Jesus has been around for a little while here. They're all gathered around him because he's been doing all that stuff already. Look at the next verse. Jesus answered, as I told you, and you believed not. And here he declares, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Who else was walking around giving ears to the deaf? Giving sight? Who else was standing in front of a rock and saying, Come forth, Lazarus? Who else had the command that God in the flesh had? None. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. Distinguishing grace. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. Those who are not God's sheep will not believe his word, even if he was speaking it to them right in front of them. Only the people of Israel were given the oracles of God. Only the people of Israel were given prophets to speak the word of God. Oh, many claim to be speaking the word of God, but they change it. They change it to fit their own comforts. They change it to fit their own desires. It's just like those who say, how can you say God, how unfair could that be that God would love some and not all of his creation? God loves the whole world. He loves everybody. He's waiting for the world to react to him. Many claim to be children of God, but few are. But here's some good news, some great news. Look at the last half of verse 26. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God, by his distinguishing grace, calls his sheep by name. Lazarus, come forth. And you can't deny the power of God, because he came forth and he was still bound in all the wrappings. And he still came forth. That's the power of God in each and every one of his callings to each and every one of his people. When the Lord calls the name of one of his people, they must come. He makes them willing in the day of his power. If he doesn't do a work, they will not come. Distinguishing grace. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord alone. My title for this message is My Sheep. We come into this world acting like goats. We walked as goats. We ate as goats. We lived as goats. But we were never goats. We have always been sheep. We just didn't know it. Look at verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. This is the very thing that I was talking about in my correction. God knows us personally, in a personal way. That word know is the same thing as when a man and woman come together in marriage, to know one intimately, to know one personally. He doesn't just carve the names of his people in his hands, he engraved them wholly. everything about them. Yes, he's omniscient. He knows everything about everybody, everything about this, everything, but this no is an intimate no. As in a husband and wife, that's why he gives us the picture of a king and his bride. We are the bride of Christ, and he knows us. If God be for you, then who could stand against you? Can anything separate his sheep from the love that is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you separate yourself from his love? No. To say that you can is to say that you have power over God. You make yourselves out to be gods. This is what those who teach free will are doing. They're declaring that their will has the power to thwart the hand of God, and it ain't so. People who go through that door marked death and don't believe the sovereignty, the sovereign power of God, well, they are not his sheep. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not some may and some might, but all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Verse 29 again, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is God's word, folks. This is not an interpretation. That's plain and simple. You can't change that to something else. That God is waiting for you to accept it. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. When Christ went to the cross, the blood of Almighty God was shed. It accomplished its purpose. That's why our Savior cried out, "It is finished." Redemption for the sheep is complete. The work is done. Well, what is there left to do? Sit down. Stop trying to do the works yourself. Stop trying to earn our way into heaven. Our Savior has already done it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Graze in the green pastures. Walk along the still waters. The Lord is my shepherd, Daryl.
Yes, he is.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yes.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not for mine, not because of anything I've done, not because of a decision I've made, but for his name's sake.
That's right.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me.
Yes.
Our great shepherd is watching over his. He is guiding us into his good works. In Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate,
yes,
predetermined to become formed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Lazarus, come out! You know, he did the same exercise with his apostles when he walked along the side of the water, and he said to Matthew and Peter, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, John Reeves, when I heard the word of God preached, come, follow me. I didn't realize what it was at first. It took me a little bit. But then the word started eating at my heart. I got to go back and hear more of that.
Right.
I got to go hear about this one who rules over everything. This is a God I've never heard about before. I've always heard about the God who's waiting around for you to do something. Or I heard about something and I just didn't care about it enough to think about it. Them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. God delivered his own son for his people.
Yes.
That's no small thing.
No, sir.
He gave himself for us. Sacrificed his only begotten son for the people he loves. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? What would he withhold from us? Nothing. He's already given everything for the people that he loves. He gave us his son, not so that some might be saved, but that some would be saved. Folks, as you hear me say often, there will be no empty seats in heaven. All for who the Father giveth him shall come to him, and those who come to him he shall in no wise cast out. That's God's word. That's his promise. And if God has said it, shall it not come to pass? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Our subject is distinguishing grace. The difference between one from another. It says, my sheep hear my voice. But look down at verse 30, 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, saying, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will harden it whom I will. In John chapter 8, 47, you don't need to turn there. He said, he that is of God, this is our Lord speaking, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. These religious Jews, steeped in tradition and moral ways, knew not God even when he stood right before them. Again, in verse 24, it said, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, says, I told you, and you believed not. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, who maketh thee to differ? Who is it that makes us to differ from those who won't hear? God's distinguishing grace. Our great God distinguishes between his people and the rest of the world. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. We know that we are no different. We walk in these bodies, this flesh every day, and we see the sin that we have in us against our Lord. Only takes a moment to say, you know what, I've got the power to do this. Instead of turning to my Lord and Savior who has all power, that's as much of a sin as anything else is. To doubt him, to turn away from him. We know what we deserve.
Yes.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's amazing that he would be merciful to any, especially to me, a sinner condemned unclean, yet by his grace, by his distinguishing grace, and only by his grace, I am made clean. Made clean through the works, the finished works of his Son, the joy of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Would you turn with me to page 198? Stand and let's sing The Wonderful Grace of Jesus.